As a listener to the Beef Watch podcast, we would really appreciate your feedback on the content we provide. By going to go.unl.edu/podcast and completing a 5-question survey, you will help us know what has been beneficial to you and also what you would like to listen to more of. Again, that's go.unl.edu/podcast, or you can also go to the beef.unl.edu website and you'll find the survey there. Thanks for being a listener to the Beef Watch podcast. We really look forward to getting your feedback. Welcome to the Beef Watch podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch podcast, we're going to discuss an article from the October issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Fall Grazing Management, Balancing Forage Use and Recovery. To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by Ben Beckman, who's a Nebraska Extension educator based in Cedar County, focused on forages and grazing management systems. Thanks for joining me today, Ben.
Happy to be here to chat, Aaron.
Well, Ben, this has been a little bit of a different year for us across much of the state. We've had some good moisture as we've looked towards the summer and fall. That's been an interesting scenario because we've got some good growth back on some of these pastures. But in the article, you highlight that we need to be aware of how we utilize that growth and make sure we're doing that appropriately.
Yeah, Aaron, you know, when we talk about different forage species, we talk about cool season species. And if you ever see a growth graph of one of those, you know, there's the traditional growth in the spring, and then it kind of dives down during the summer period. And most of them have a little bit of a blip in the fall. And that's really moisture dependent on whether or not you can see that growth in the fall. The last few years, we have not seen that in Nebraska. And this year, we've got, some moisture across the state. And we're starting to see, especially in some brome pastures, Kentucky bluegrass, fescue, things like that, a lot of our introduced cool season species, some of that fall growth that we talk about sometimes. And I think it's something that we need to kind of consider. How do we utilize it or maybe don't utilize it in this situation, and how that fits into our grazing management and plans?
Yeah, let's go a little deeper into that. In the article, you talk about some fall fertilization. As we record this, we're early October. So if that had occurred, it'd probably been done earlier this year, but would we still want to apply some fertilizer now?
You know, from a nitrogen standpoint, because usually when we're talking about these fields, nitrogen is something that we're talking about applying. Doing it this late in the year is a little bit risky. It's probably not something that we usually want to consider doing. That being said, I'm kind of torn on that because as warm as it's been, and you look at the forecast and what they're saying, you know, I don't see any frost risk here in the immediate vicinity. So a little bit of nitrogen still be useful for some situations and in some pastures, as long as we've got good moisture. But we're really pushing that border on nitrogen, whether or not that's going to be useful, because the tricky thing with nitrogen is if the plant doesn't use it this year, you know, it's just going to leach out. And so we're wasting money and possibly getting it into groundwater sources and stuff that we don't want to do. So nitrogen right now, this is a little bit of a gray area, something that you really want to consider if you want to go about doing that. We need to act pretty quickly. That being said, there are other fertilizer applications that we can do. And I always recommend taking a soil test first so we know if we're lacking in some nutrients. But, you know, the other big ones, phosphorus and potassium, can really be beneficial, strengthening stands, strengthening roots, making sure that we've got, you know, a healthy stand heading into next spring. And applying it this time of year isn't going to hurt at all. You know, actually, it might be beneficial to help get some things going this fall so that way we have good vigor and growth going into the next year in the spring. That being said, again, we're talking primarily for all of this on our cool season introduced species, our brome grasses, our fescues, things like that. Native range, warm season species, they do really well in the environment that they were developed in, which was really, nutrient limited and nitrogen limited specifically. And so we really don't want to consider any fall fertilization for those species, especially because at this point in time, they're pretty much done with their life cycle and there's not much growth going on there.
Let's talk about the advantages and disadvantages of fall grazing on these. And let's address both our introduced species, as you mentioned, as well as some of our natives, because we've seen in some places some good fall growth on our natives because of ample moisture we've had. So things like western wheat, needle and thread, some of those have actually kind of come on a little bit this fall. What are some things we need to know if we're thinking about grazing introduced species or natives, and what we might do in terms of impacting that plant?
So when we're considering this, I want to always frame it in the larger picture and larger context of things. And so we've got a really good year this year. We mentioned that already. The last couple of years, we've had really dry falls in particular. We've had, drought on and off across the state. And so a lot of our pastures, depending on how we've been able to manage that, whether or not we've been able to prevent overgrazing and however, our management strategy, has come out of those drier periods, we need to just consider the stress that those pastures have been under, over a long period of time. And that needs to kind of color our decision process as we move forward. So keeping that in the back of our mind, whenever we're looking at doing a late grazing, we do put stress on those plants because at this point in the year or at this time, those plants are growing, but they're also, because they're perennial plants, putting reserves away into their roots, into their rhizomes and things like that in order to have energy to make it through the winter and then initiate growth in the spring. And so if we graze them at this period of time, especially with the conditions that we have, those plants are going to try to regrow. And so they're having to expend energy then again right before winter, some of that energy that they already built up. And so, we can put them at a little bit of a disadvantage going into winter if we graze too hard and too close. That said, there is an opportunity here to capture some of that. So if we do some grazing, we want to leave at least a good 4 inches of stubble height if we can for some of our cool season species, especially those cool season introduced species. I would go a little bit further above that, 6 to 8 inches if we can on our native species, just to make sure that they've got enough residual and have enough leaf area there to continue to photosynthesize and make it through the winter. Again, we want to keep this in the context. If we've had a pasture that's been really stressed, maybe this is the year we just let it recover and we let those plants get reserves built back up and get growth going again. And you're going to see that again next spring, especially if we let those plants recover this fall and we've got a good period for them. And then the other thing that I always think we need to keep into consideration is we kind of view spring and fall as two separate things. Winter's in between here and it stops any connection between the two because we don't see the plant growing. But if we do grazing in the fall here, it is going to have implications on how much growth we have in the spring. And so if we choose to utilize a pasture in the fall, a lot of times we're going to see a little bit lower production in that pasture in the spring, maybe a little bit slower growth and green up. And so we want to try to plan our grazing around that. Don't graze that one first thing in the spring, then, if we're grazing it here in the fall. And if we really need that spring grazing, let's stockpile it. Let's leave it go. If we really need to use it, we can use it later on once those plants have gone dormant and graze it over the winter a little bit. But if we're grazing in the fall, there are some implications the next spring and what our productivity does.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Ben. And we've talked about in other podcasts that across much of the state, there's ample hay supplies available. And I know this is a non-traditional way of thinking, but it may be that actually leaving some of these pastures go, not grazing them now, feeding some hay now to those cows, and then saving that pasture for next spring when we have some cows that are calving and have a real high nutrient demand may actually be a better use of that resource.
Yeah, Aaron, and I really think that exploring the option of stockpiling and letting that pasture get more growth onto it and see what happens. A lot of it depends if how much snow we get and things like that, whether we can utilize it late into the fall, into the early winter period. But once those plants go dormant, there's an opportunity to capture some of that forage there without hurting the plant. And then, like you said, working it into our system and possibly, hitting those points where we've got high nutrient demands from some of our cattle. And so, again, we've got a lot of different factors and different things that each operation is going to be different that we need to consider and figure out what works best for our plan. But yeah, just because we've got the growth there now doesn't necessarily mean that using it here in the fall is going to be the best option for us.
Well, Ben, thanks for putting this together. I think it's always good to remind ourselves that the grass we grow this fall may actually be foundational to the grass we grow next spring, which it is. And so managing this growth we have now really does determine how we get things started and kicked off next year.
I couldn't put it better myself, Aaron.
Well, Ben, thanks for joining me today and for putting this together.
Always a pleasure.
Well, for more information on the topic we discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find the article at beef.unl.edu. The title of the article, Fall Grazing Management, Balancing Forage Use and Recovery.